Welcome to the Rock Church of Coastal Hills with Pastor David Archibek. We now join the service in progress.
All right, I got a little bit of trivia for you today. Let's see how smart some of you are. I'm continuing the series called Life Support. And again, I told you I worked in the hospital. I work critical care, trauma, ICUs, MICU, all the newborn intensive care units. I've done all the intensive cares. And if someone's incapable of breathing and surviving on their own, they might be having severe infection or multi-organ failure. We put them on life support. The life support for the Christian is to abide in Christ. From John chapter 15, I started the series off with that. But today's message in this series of life support is called this. Ready? S-O-S. S-O. Is anybody smart out there? Trivia. Who knows what S-O-S means? What? Save our ship? Save our souls. Save our sons. Okay, I looked it up. I asked Siri. Siri's smarter than everybody. It means absolutely nothing. They implemented it in 1906, when they did the Morse code, it just translated very clear SOS and was easy to read. And so they adopted SOS. It means nothing other than they told the world, they sent out an email in 1905. To all the nations, this means help, desperate help. And so this is what SOS, we're going to be reading from John chapter 14, and you'll see the meaning of where I get this. John chapter 14, verse 16, 17, and I'm going to jump to verse 26. Verse 16, it says, I will pray to the Father. Jesus is talking here. I will pray to the Father, he will give you another helper. Say another helper. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Thank God. Amen. Verse 26, it says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Say, he will teach you all things. And bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. And then I'm going to read one more passage of scripture right here. In John chapter 16, verse 13. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. Say, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Say that. He will tell you things to come. Okay, we're going to break down what we just read. You got to understand, and again, let me lay out the setting one more time. But in this context, what's happening in John chapter 13 through chapter 17 is that Jesus, this is the last 24 hours. Again, depending on the theologian, it could be the last 48 hours of Jesus' life. If you knew you had 24 hours to live, what would you put in motion? What would you set in order? And what would you, would you go clean your house? You had 24 hours to live. Would you go clean your house? Oh, man, I got to go plant those flowers. Got to dust those staircases. No. You have 24 hours to live. You would implement and you would speak with the people most important in your life, but you would impart to them the most important message that you would want to convey. That's where Jesus is at right now. And what we talked about in John chapter 13, you saw that in John chapter 13, Jesus says, I want you to serve one another. The way you see me serve, you got to show the world. He also says, not just serve, but you got to what? You got to love as I've loved you, right? And then Jesus, again, seeing the forecast of his death, he tells his disciples, coming into verse 1 of chapter 14, he says, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. How many realize you don't have to believe for that? trouble comes, right? And then he tells his disciples, here's the other thing. Trouble's coming, but know God. If you've known me, you know God. And that word know actually means the experiential knowledge, an encounter with God. And so that, to get us caught up to with now what he's saying, with all the different things, he says, if you love me, keep my commands. Now, is he talking about the Ten Commandments? It could mean that. Or could it mean the things that he's been listing with them in the context of their sitting? They just took communion. He says, keep my commands. What? To serve, to love. Don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. Some of you walked in with fear today. Jesus says, don't be what? Troubled. He says, believe in God. Believe also in me. Command. Amen. Know God. Know, if you know the Son, you know God. So he's talking about experience God. Could you say that's a command? Know God. We have it's a privilege. It's an opportunity. It's not like he's going to swallow if you don't know me. He's actually saying, this is the privilege. This is the meaning of life, is to know your Creator. Amen. Now, the next thing he is saying, guys, is he's saying, I'm going to give you another helper. Look at your neighbor and say, you need help. Verse 16. We all need help. I'll help you out with that one. We all need help. I will pray the Father and get this. He will give you, get this, another helper. Because at this time, guys, you got to realize, I mean, they have left. This is 12 disciples have left everything. They have abandoned their jobs. Imagine you leaving your jobs to follow this man, this miracle man, this man full of wisdom and knowledge and power and influence. And this man who says he's speaking the words of God. But not only is he just speaking these things, he's showing that there is something on his life. Come on, I mean, I think there's something to listen to when somebody opens the eyes of the blind and raises up a paralytic and right? Heals a withered hand and forgives and just really shames the Pharisees and the educated men of his time. They've left everything to follow this man. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you another helper. It's like, what? He's already alluding. He's leaving. You're leaving and we are following you? What are you thinking? Have you ever got out in a place where it's like, why did you go with somebody? I know my wife sometimes thinks, what are we doing planting our church? Have you ever gotten out there, extend yourself for God? And that's what's going through the minds. But Jesus is saying, you know, they're okay. They're all okay as long as Jesus is with them. But Jesus says, I'm going to give you another helper. Another, that what was that all about? What you talking about? Another helper doesn't mean another as in something different. Like, I'm going to just give you another Savior. No, he's talking, I'm going to give you another helper, which is in the same capacity, same knowledge, the same equal as me, called the Holy Spirit. Some of you got another. Some of you have been married several times. I remember in high school, we had an amazing coach who played for the college team. We had state championships under him. And my senior year, he decides, with an incredible team, he decides to retire the year before. And they gave us, get this, another coach. But it wasn't the same kind of coach of the same caliber. But Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you another helper, another of the same caliber just like me. In other words, there will not be a deficiency, there will not be a drawback, there will not be a letdown with the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm going to give you another helper. Come on, somebody say helper. And that's what I'm going to talk real quick about, a helper. Verse 16, again, it says, I will pray to the Father. He says, I will give you another helper. That word helper, guys, is parakletos in the Greek. But listen, that word parakletos, get this. It's a summon, call to one's side to help, call to one's aid, to plead another's cause before a judge, a counselor for defense, an intercessor, pleading with God the Father for the pardon of our sins, in the widest sense, a helper, a comforter, an aider, an assistant. That's what when Jesus says, I'm going to give you a helper, it means a comfort. Anybody ever needed comfort in this place? Anybody ever needed assistance in this place? They had a helper in Jesus, but he was flesh and blood, and he was confined at this time to time and space. He was confined because he was in the flesh. Jesus knew the overall plan that he needed to die, but he knew he wasn't going to leave them as orphans. Amen? He wasn't going to leave them without help. It was important because only up until that time, Jesus could only be with people, but he couldn't be with everyone at the same time. But through the remedy of the Holy Spirit is now, it's not just Jesus going to be with you. He's going to be in you. You know, that's where we get, Christ is in my heart. Where is he? You know, the little kids are looking for, I don't see him. No, he lives. He's a spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us. We have a helper. Now, I got to share something. He's a counselor, right? He's an assistant. Let me share something with you. This is his assignment. This, you know what? I was meditating on this. If somebody is going to die, you know, I think it may be my dad, or if I was on my deathbed, I'd have my family in there. I have my closest loved ones. And I would, you know, Jesus could have said, you know, listen, I got a full bank account. And I'm giving you an inheritance. Or during this time, he says, you know what? I have an army that's going to revolt with you, disciples. Of course, Peter was high-fiving on that one. He was like, yes, I knew it. We're going to battle. We're going to battle our way out of this captivity to Rome. No, he didn't say, I'm going to leave you a whole bunch of weaponry, and it's hidden here. Or again, he's not talking, I got you homes. It was nothing. He says, you know what you need, what I'm going to leave you? It's the Holy Spirit. I got you a helper because there's an assignment that I need you to fulfill. And within your own strength, within your own self, you cannot fulfill it. You need the helper. Look at somebody and say, you need the helper. Here's the one catch with having a helper. Some of us don't receive the help. Listen to this. I stumbled over this article. I don't read it, but I just Googled and Huffington Post. Yeah, my favorite. Huffington Post article posted this. Listen to this. Hi, my name is Aaron. I'm a recovering, I don't need any help-aholic person. I've been uncomfortable receiving and asking for help as long as I can remember. My whole life has been a person Let me start that again. My whole life, I've been a person who thought I was being strong by doing everything on my own, even if it meant doing it with struggle. If someone offered me assistance before even pausing to think, my answer would always be a firm, no thanks, I'm okay. I wouldn't even accept a glass of water if I'd hiked 50 blocks across town to an appointment, clearly parched with a bead of sweat visible on my upper lip. If someone told me I looked like I needed a hug, I was hard on myself for being weak. Ah, no, please don't give me a hug. I'm really okay, knowing good and well I could actually use a well-intentioned and caring squeeze. Newsweek writes, there are many reasons people fear requesting assistance. Primary among them, not wanting to seem weak, needy, or incompetent. Man, when I worked in the hospital, there's a lot of heady people, and they always wanted to. It was always so fun to go around with the. I used to have to go on rounds because they'd make changes in, you know, on settings and medical treatment for each patient. So I had to go on the rounds with the doctors. And they'd always get the new residents or the new medical students. And, man, they love to voice a lot of their ignorance because they're book strong. They know the books, and they got 101%, an extra credit and everything. You get them in a clinical setting, and they're actually kind of dumb. And the attending would always shoot them down. Why in the world would you do that? You need to. Some of the attendings were tough. If you said the wrong and dumb thing, he'd get you out of there. But we sometimes we don't want to be seen as dumb. Anybody not want to give an answer because it might seem dumb? You didn't want anybody to take over because you didn't want to be seen as what? Incompetent. Another fear is that if you ask for help, you would be surrendering control and that the person you wanted assistance from will take over. The danger, however, is that the stalling can let a situation grow from a problem, from just a small problem to a crisis. We all need help. We all need help. Amen. We all need help. And here's the thing. We all will fail one another, but every one of us has the helper on the inside. And, you know, I was just talking about this, and this was blessing. Again, you could see that this series that we're doing is lighting me up on, and it's just refreshing some things that we can let slip. But you know, I was just even listening to Rick Warren talk the other day, and he says, you know what? He was talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, you know what? I don't do a thing without communion with him. He says, I might have an appointment. I might go to this meeting. He says, I've always made it my pattern of, Lord, what do you, I know I have to go to this appointment, but in between, Lord, what do you want me to speak? He says, I've learned to stay in constant communion with the Holy Spirit. And he says, I'm still functioning. I'm not neglecting my deeds at hand and my task at hand. But he says, I've just learned in the windows and the spaces of time in my life is to learn to communicate with the helper. Amen. It's not just for the spiritual few. It's for everybody. Do we do that? Do we all have access? You nod your head. We all do. And what we're doing, when we don't learn to do that, guys, we put a ceiling on where we'll go with God. We put limitations and restrictions on where and what God wants to do with us. How many realize that God might want to interrupt your daily plan? But what's the problem is that we have not let him. We don't rely upon him. We don't believe him. We don't commune. We don't have confidence, but we can. Amen? Y'all listening? Why do we need help? Why do we need help? Look at your neighbor and say, you need help? Because you know what? We'll dig ourselves into a hole. Anybody done that? Dug yourself into a hole. You knew you shouldn't answer somebody in a certain tone, like your boss, but you let them have it. A relative, I just need to speak my mind. And you did. And it's still a mess. Right? And if you do that, you'll dig yourself. You know, the Bible, I love Proverbs 26. He says, a man can't dig a hole without himself falling into it. And some of us have just fallen. We need help. Some of you thought, I'm going to just tell my wife. She needs to know this. How'd that go over for you? I'm tired of this. In fact, I'm at the edge. And you didn't answer with the right tone. And you guys hadn't talked for 7 days. We need help. Amen? We need the wisdom of God. The next thing, why do we need help? God is calling us all to do something drastically larger than our capacity and capability of pulling off. You know, God has something greater for your life. He does. His dream for you is bigger than what you can ask or imagine. We need help for that. And when we do the impossible, people turn their faith toward God. When you start stepping into things, in fact, listen to what, I love this, what Paul says, 1 Corinthians 2:4. He says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in, get this, demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He says that your faith should be not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When people see the exploits that you operate in, when they see your reunion with God and you're being Spirit-led and everything, they're just like, what is up with that? You're in the right place at the right. You're blessed. You have friendships. There's favor on your life. What is up? Well, because we've learned to walk with the help of the Lord. Amen.
Number two, what we're going to pull out from the scripture that we just read from John chapter 14. First, again, the first one, Jesus' final departing words was, we have a helper. Number two, Jesus' final departing words to his disciples before his crucifixion is that the Holy Spirit will abide with you forever. Why do I say that? What is it? Forever. Listen to verse 16. It says, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper. Listen, that he may abide or live with you forever. Because you know what? That doesn't make much sense right now, because Jesus is leaving them. He's getting ready to die. But I'm giving you a helper. He'll abide with you forever. That is the most soothing words when we begin to understand he'll abide with you forever. Because listen to me, and you all know this very well, but people, even close loved ones, will come in and out of your life. They'll come in, and it'll be good for a season, and they'll go out. They'll come in, and those who promised they would never leave, some of you have gone through the pain of a divorce or separation, right? People, and you know what? That's how I came to Christ, because there was somebody before I dated, before Dion, that my heart got broken. I lost this individual. And you know what? I kept seeing that, you know what? It's like, no matter what I was trying to do to win her back and trying to, you know, not just win her back, but cultivate this relationship, it didn't work. And I was dropping a lot of money. God says, stop dropping that money. I got Dion. But you start seeing that, you know what? People will come in. Even the most well-intended, spirit-led people. But he says, the Lord will be with you forever. You know, if you've ever seen it, I don't know how recent it was, but America's Got Talent. If you saw, there was a boy, his name was, look him up, it'll bless you, Jacob Curley. He was on America's Got Talent. And he got up there and sang. And they says, I want to know your story. After he sang, he wowed everybody. And they says, I want to know your story. Well, and he's like, well, he says, music became so meaningful to me because when I was five, up through the time I was five, my parents were in and out of jail and they were on drugs. We didn't know where we were going to stay. And he says, at the age of five, the police came to my house and took me and my one-year-old little sister. And we went from foster home to foster home. He says, we experienced abuse and neglect. He says, during that time, there's such instability in our life. He says, we wanted somebody to want us. He says, if anybody showed any kind of care or emotion toward us, we'd immediately, he says, I can remember as a five-year-old, are you going to be the one who's going to love me? It's in us for someone to love. Now, I'm not trying to, you know, paint such a horrible picture of what humans. I just know human nature, right? We all know human nature. But God wants you to know you got a helper. He'll be with you all the time. All the time. On a remote, you know, what was the movie that was with Tom Hanks on the island? Castaway. You don't have to talk to a volleyball. You don't have to talk to Mr. Spalding. Right? This little boy, he wanted. That's funny. He wanted somebody to love, and when his mom adopted him, they were just in love. He says, because this is the first time somebody has wanted us. And when he sang the song, the judges heard his story. And one of the judges stood up and said, listen, we love you. And America's Got Talent has adopted you. And he just flushed and just began to weep and weep and weep, like uncontrollably. Because it's in us to be loved. But can I share something? If we haven't learned learn. I'll help you. This will save you a multitude of hurts. But learn to let him love you. Because your friends will be cliquey. You may not get invited to a party. We're learning this with, you know, teaching this to our children. I still remember a lady in our choir had a 17-year-old son, a graduation. It's his senior year. She threw a party. She had invited all kinds of people, and not one individual showed up. And that'll happen. But you know what? Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up. Again, I'm not trying to taint, but learn to love him. He will not leave you. Listen to a song that, this is so funny, you all have heard. You remember this from Michael Martin Murphy? I've been looking at people and how they change with the times. Remember that? Some of you still don't. And how they, well, I read that one. And lately all I've been seeing the people throwing love away and losing their minds. Maybe it's me that's gone crazy because I can't figure out why. All these lovers keep hurting each other when good love is so hard to find and hard to come by. So what's the glory in living? Remember that? Doesn't anybody ever stay to more? And if love never lasts forever, tell me, what's forever? All right, there we go. Yeah. But we see, and we have to know, guys, when God's saying, I'm going to give you a new helper, he'll be with you what? Forever. Get to know this God. He'll be with you what? Forever. The next thing I want us to know, that Jesus' final and departing words, number three, is he'll teach you all things. He'll teach you all things. John 14:26 says this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Notice, he will teach you what? He will teach you what? Do you think calculus is included in there? Do you think learning how to use your computer could be in there? Nana, listen to this. iPhones. Do you think iPhones could be included in there? It's so funny. I had a 15-minute talk with Granddad. He just got an iPhone. You know, Pastor David, I just don't know what's all wrong with that iPhone. You know, he tells me to push that button. I'm pushing it. It doesn't come up. I think I got a bogus iPhone. Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Can I share something, though? God will take us down the road of I don't know, that you're not going to know. Because there is the faith element. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm relying upon the Lord to teach me. Here's the one obstruction and the one hindrance to learning. Or actually, he's the teacher. He'll teach you all things. If you have a teacher, it's not just the teacher's responsibility to impart. Right? The difference is we have to be good, what? Learners. I found sometimes we don't want to learn. We like to stay in our ignorance. But I found ignorance is not a good quality and not a justification. Because I found out you drive. If you drive in a community or on the highway and the speed limits is 65 and you get pulled over and you tell the cop, I didn't know the speed limit. What's he gonna say? Oh man, you poor thing. Okay, I'll have mercy. No, he's going to give you a ticket and say, pay attention. Right? And maybe after you pay that $350, we might learn But we have to be good learners, because you know what I found? The Holy Spirit is talking. He is teaching all the time. Do we have ears to hear? You know, and Jesus often said to the people, they didn't understand his parables because he says they don't have ears to hear and they don't have hearts to respond. Amen. He will teach you how many things? He will teach you all things. He will tell us things, but not all things. He will tell us what we need to know. That's what I found. He'll tell you what you need to know. And if you actually stay in every complexity in my life, the bewilderment, and I didn't know what to do, when I took time, every time, there's not a time that I took time to hear the voice of God, that I pulled my word aside to listen to him, he's spoken. He gave clear, clear direction. Guys, we hurt ourselves if we haven't learned to hear from the Holy Spirit, if we haven't heard to listen to him, because he will teach you. You know, I went through college as in the medical field. I went through and I learned. It's like when I heard that scripture, it's like, he'll help me and teach me all things. Lord, I'm sure not getting this chemistry right now. I am serious. I would sit there. Lord, I ask for your wisdom right now, Lord, and help me to understand. I'm missing things right now. Instead of getting stressed, I began to rely on the Holy Spirit to teach me. You know how people get stressed over exams? Oh, I'm so stressed. I would never go unstressed. It's like, Lord, I've studied. I've done all I can do. Lord, you just bring all things back to my remembrance. It just doesn't mean in things pertaining to life, but school and picking the kids up at school. We forgot our kids and didn't pick our kids up at school. So, I mean, stuff like that. We have the Holy Spirit and the reminders on iPhone. He will teach us all things. Amen? He will teach us all things. You know, there was, it just, and I want to read this from John Maxwell. He writes this. So for him to teach us all things, we have to be good what? Good learners. We have to be willing to be taught. Some of us have that have a real gifting and anointing called stubbornness. Yeah? I mean, my kids used to be so instructable. We could tell Aubrey singing. We started her off singing. Baby, you do this. Now that she sings better than us. We try to tell her something. She looks at us. I can't do the run, but you should do it like, ooh. She's like, she looks at me like. My son, I taught him how to shoot. I says, you learned the way, the technique I'm teaching you how to shoot. Right? You'll be the best shooter in the league. You could be the best shooter in the state. That's how confident I am with teaching you how to shoot. I taught him how to play baseball. And now you try to teach them. They get to a level that their actually competence gets a little bit higher. So you take them to a hitting coach. He has a hitting coach that he actually taught pro players and college players and a lot of. He has something like 29 players that have gone on to the pros, and he's teaching Brendan. So I try to help him now. I might know a little bit. I was at the lesson. John Maxwell writes about being teachable. He says he says this, traits of a teachable person. Traits of a teachable person. One, teachable people have an attitude conducive to learning. You just want to learn. You can learn from anybody. If anything, if they're doing it the wrong way, you can learn the right way. I never understood. Well, I understand it because of they've seen the pattern. But you know, if you've had an abuse, some people had an abusive life, and I didn't understand how people, because they had abuse, that they abused their kids. To me, it's like, okay, you learn what not to do because it was painful and inflicted on your life. That's turned the corner, right? Or you see patterns in certain people, and they follow the bad conduct. But he's saying teachable people have an attitude conducive to learning. People with a teachable spirit approach each day as an opportunity for another learning experience. Their hearts are open. Their minds are alert for something new. Their attitudes are expectant. They know that success has less to do with processing natural talent and more to do with choosing to learn. Choosing to learn. Choosing to learn. Number two, traits of a teachable person. Number two, teachable people possess a beginner mindset. Like I said, some of you have kids. You were able to tell them when they were young how you wanted your dishes washed and how you want the floor to be vacuumed and make sure you have the right lines and right. You know, you teach them how to make their bed and then you pull back the comforter and like, what in the world is that mess under that comforter? They just like, get me a thick comforter because the thicker the better. It just kind of, it just hides all the wrinkles and the wads. Have a beginner mindset. When people are actually beginners, they find it easy to have a beginner's mindset. But maintaining that teachability becomes more difficult as you learn more and achieve some success. I try to maintain a beginner's mindset by keeping the following things in mind. He says, everyone has something to teach me. Everybody has something to teach me. But see, sometimes when we cross over with pride, we have that. Sometimes that attitude is, we don't want to learn. We want to teach. We want to be the voice. But somebody who's teachable, everybody has something to teach me. Number two is, every day I have something to learn. Every day. Number four, traits of a teachable person. Teachable people encourage others to speak into their lives. Teachable people surround themselves with the people who know them well and who will lovingly be honest, speak into their life. That's funny. I'm looking at my notes. I went 1, 2, 4, and 5. It's correct up there? Okay. Number four, teachable people learn something new every day. Again, the secret, and John Maxwell writes, he says, the secret to any person's success can be found in his or her daily agenda. People grow and improve, not by huge leaps and bounds, but by small incremental changes. I said this because this is how we should be with the Holy Spirit. When you come to youth group, or when you go to hear the word, or when you're listening, it just have a hungry, hungry heart. You know what I found out? Paul said it this way in Philippians. He says, I've said these things to you before, but it's necessary that you hear them again, that you get them in your spirit. He says, I know you know this, but listen again. How many realize we don't get things the first time? And if you hear something again, you know what it is? God is bringing it to your attention, saying, you don't got it as much as you thought. Amen. I'm going to stop there. But again, the first thing Jesus says, we need help. And we have to be in that place to receive help from the Lord. We all need help. The second thing Jesus says, I'm going to give you another helper that he'll be with you forever. He won't leave. Amen. He will be there. And next thing we saw that he will teach you all things. And, of course, it goes on to say he'll bring all things back to your remembrance. Some of us have left just these basic principles. Some of you are hearing them for the first time. But I pray that the Holy Spirit becomes more intimate and you become more acquainted with his voice. Before you pick up the phone, before you turn on the TV, at your first waking hours, you learn to just commune with God. If you're in a bind, if you see things developing and it doesn't look good, learn to call on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, speak. Are you doing it? Again, we know some of this, but are we doing it? That's the big difference. It's not what we know. It's what we have working and operating in our life. Amen? Because there's wisdom that's going to come from above that you could get no other way than being with God. Amen? Let him be your helper. He'll be with you how long? Forever. He'll teach you. And he'll bring all things back to your remembrance. Amen. And just closing here, guys. When I was praying about this, I just felt like some of us have not learned how to enjoy the presence of God. Have not come to the full knowledge that he's in you. He'll teach you. Again, it doesn't have to come from a man. It can. It come through man with the Holy Spirit flowing like a pastor. Spirit flowing through the pastor. Same Holy Spirit that operates on the inside of you. But today, as I was just thinking about, the Bible says in Acts 1:8, it says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus just gave him the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he was teaching his disciples how to pray. And then he says in Luke chapter 11, verse 9, he says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And then he goes on. It's kind of funny. He says, if you ask for a loaf of bread, is somebody going to give you a stone? If you ask for a fish, are they going to give you a scorpion? That was funny when I said that. It just came to mind. I was Dion's dad one time years ago. I think the story, if I remember the story, he was driving home from a trip or something, and he saw this, just all the, like a shadow coming over the highway. He's like, what in the world was that? And it was like a herd of tarantulas, right? Just, they were just crossing, a bunch of them. Yeah, and they weren't little. They were like softball size. They were big, hairy, beautiful things, right? He said, I'm going to bless my daughter with a tarantula. Put it in a shoebox. He says, here, Dion. Opened it. That thing jumped, right? It jumped. She's been ruined ever since. I mean, gnats, mosquitoes, she's freaking out. Moths, I mean, you name it, right? God will not give us a tarantula. Yes, for bread. He's not going to give you a stone. He's the good father, right? He's the good father. But listen to it. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Now listen. Listen to this very carefully. How much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There's a lot. I had an entire 3 semesters on the Holy Spirit. This is just touching it. But these are the words that Jesus saw fit to teach to his disciples. You need help. You need help. But learn to get your help from above, right? Some of you have leaned on all kinds of resources. I mean, you Google before you call on God. I have a bump. I have a mass. I have a certain feeling. I have a headache. Google. What does Google? What does Siri say? What if, right? What if that he was the first that we consulted? Amen? He wants to be that in our life. And I just, as I close out now, I just felt like some of you haven't felt, you haven't understood, haven't, I don't even say, you've neglected. Whatever the case may be, it was foreign. It's like, man, I need to know the Holy Spirit in such an intimate way. I felt like the Lord said, he wants me to pray for you.